If you have your Bibles with you and would like to follow along, I'd like to go to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Let's read the first few verses, and then I'd like to skip down and think about one individual in particular that's mentioned in this chapter. This chapter is full of the saints of old who did wondrous things by faith and through faith. They overcame obstacles. They defeated the enemies. They stood strong in the face of persecution. This is a great place to go in God's Word to be strengthened and renewed, to have our own faith strengthened, to think that God can give us the strength to do some of these things that these individuals did. Now, I recognize that there were some miraculous things going on at that time that perhaps we don't witness in the world today, but I'm not so sure about that sometimes. You know, we might witness miracles around us and in our own lives and fail to recognize those miracles. Miracles may look a little differently than they did in that day. But let's read a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is our subject this morning. Faith that leads to obedience. That is our subject this morning. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith. The apostle tells us that faith is the very ground. It is the very foundation. It is the basis. It is that which supports, if you will, our hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. One thing I've noticed about faith, sometimes it's hard to get our minds and our hearts around faith, just what it is and how we exercise it and what it can do. And I've noticed one thing about faith. Faith does not stand still. Faith does not stand still. In fact, if faith was standing still, you couldn't see it, right? If faith was standing still, if faith was sedentary, if it was not doing anything, you couldn't see it. You wouldn't know it was there. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. I came across a really nice quote. I thought it was pretty nice. I'll share it with you. From Matthew Henry concerning this particular verse and faith and that relationship between faith and hope. We know oftentimes when our hope is not bright, it is, or at least my case, because my faith is not as strong as it ought to be. Faith and hope are really inseparable. They go hand in hand. When I feel very strong in faith, then my hope is brighter. And that which I am looking to and looking for and looking at by that eye of faith becomes much brighter, becomes much more real to me. Matthew Henry, this quote, he says, it is a firm persuasion. Faith and hope, this relationship between faith and hope, he says it is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all he has promised to us in Christ. That's where it begins. What God has promised. I could try to have faith in a lot of things, but if it's not grounded and rooted in the promises of God and in His Word, my faith is misplaced and I'm looking for something that I ought not to be looking for. But it is a firm persuasion and expectation that what God has promised, that what God has promised in His Son Jesus Christ that we find in His Word, that's faith. And that's hope. And that is what we should be hoping for, expecting to see. Matthew Henry went on to say, faith proves to the mind the reality of things that cannot be seen by the bodily eye. I like that. It proves to the mind the reality of things that cannot be seen with the natural eye. Faith does that for us. It allows us to see into those spiritual things and eternal things. He says it is a full approval of all God has revealed as holy, just, and good. An approval in our own minds. Not that we have to approve of anything that God does. God doesn't need our approval. But in our minds, we need these things proven to us from time to time. And faith allows us to do that. There's an individual on down beginning in verse 8 that I'd like to think about for just a few minutes. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham. Abraham was a very important figure in the history of the nation of Israel, right? The history of the Jews. Well, he was the father of them, right? You remember Abraham. You probably know quite a bit about Abraham. We read in this chapter here, in Hebrews chapter 11, a great deal about Abraham and Moses, in fact. Very important figures in the history of the Jews, the Israelites. Very important figures. It's interesting that of all the individuals that are listed here in this chapter, there's like one good thing said about each one pretty much, but with Abraham and Moses, there's several things that we're told, reminded of, that they were able to do by the strength and grace of God through faith, by faith, the things that they were able to do. And so I want to think about Abraham for just a few minutes. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. I think it would do us a lot of good if we would turn back to Genesis chapter 12 for just a moment and read at least a few verses, or if you just want to listen to me read them, that's fine. You don't have to turn back there. The apostle tells us that by faith, Abraham obeyed. Obeyed. I want to talk to you about faith that leads to obedience. Faith and obedience. Faith is manifest through obedience. You think about what James said, it's very similar. Faith without works is dead. You don't see it. It's dormant. And it's really not much use. Faith without works. He said, you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. And that's the only way we can show our faith. But we're talking about works. We're talking about not just any kind of work. We're talking about works of obedience and works in obedience to the Lord who gave us that faith, right? And we recognize that. Sometimes, you know, sometimes preachers feel it necessary to rehearse all the basics so that nobody misunderstands. You know, in every sermon we have to rehearse the basics. And I don't know if that's necessary or not, but you understand that faith is not something that you reached out and got a hold of yourself, right? Faith is something that God gave you. That man in his natural state, death and death and trespasses and in sins, does not have faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. But once you've been born of the Spirit, oh, what we can do by faith. What we can experience by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. What did Abraham know about that place? Not a thing. Only what God told him. And you know what God told him? The only thing God told him was, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you. Let's read Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. As I said, faith is manifest through obedience. And faith does not sit still. In fact, faith doesn't wait until the way is seen clearly. Now that's a hard one. And perhaps there's a balance somewhere. Oh, I know that if you feel moved to do something, to go somewhere, to reach out to someone, to minister over here. I know that if you feel moved to do something in the service of God, I know that you have to feel that and you have, you know, some unction of the Spirit that's that maybe is stronger than what you normally experience. I understand something about that, but yet still, faith does not wait until all the questions are answered, until all the way is clearly seen. It doesn't do that. Faith, Abraham, he did not know anything about this land. God calls him to leave his country, to leave his homeland, the place where he grew up, his friends. A lot of his family went with him. I don't know how much, or if it was all of his family, but his family went with him. But he was called to leave this place where probably he's very comfortable, probably doing well, life was good. God has a way of interrupting our lives, doesn't he? Are you okay with me putting it that way? That's how you feel sometimes, isn't it? Okay, maybe you don't feel that way. Sometimes I feel like God interrupts my life. And you know what I'm saying. Everything's going along smoothly. Everything, I'm content. I'm satisfied. No real complaints. And then God comes along and tells me to do something or go somewhere or change. Oh, that's an ugly word. We don't like that word. God calls on us to change something about the situation that we're in, or change the environment entirely, change the place. Faith does not wait until all of those answers are, you know, why? Why, Lord? Why? How? That's my biggest question. How and why is this going to happen? Why is it going to happen? How are you going to bring it to pass? If I'm convinced that it's okay, it's okay, God. Okay, I'm fine with this. The why of it. But how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Who's going to be involved in this? When's it going to happen? I have all these questions. Faith does not wait until all the questions are answered. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will show you when you get there. This is the faith of Abraham. This is faith that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the faith by which those elders, those old saints, obtained a good report, a good testimony. This is the kind of faith that you and I are to have. This is the way in which we are to exercise the faith we have. He goes on to say, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee with what was the promises of God, the little quote that I shared with you from Matthew Henry. Faith is grounded in the promises of God, the things that God has promised. God is telling Abram, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You know something about Abram, and if you don't, just a few details. Abram at this time, I think, is 75 years old. He's like 75 years old. I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. I may look like it, but I'm not that old yet. I'm not sure when I reach that point if I want to be disturbed very much. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that I want a lot of changes taking place in my life at 75 years old. And, oh, by the way, Lord, I don't have any children. What are you talking about? You're going to make a great nation. How's this going to all come about? I will bless them that bless thee. That sounds pretty good. And curse him that curseth thee. That sounds good too. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God, I'm not sure about that. I mean, it looks impossible. So how's this all going to happen? You see, but faith doesn't wait for all the questions to be answered. Faith is manifest in obedience. And what did Abraham do? He obeyed. Back in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, all the promises of God sounded pretty good, right? But you think about it, all of those promises of God that God promised to Abraham sounded just about impossible to come about. But faith didn't wait for all those questions to be answered. Faith obeyed. Abraham obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. He might have had some idea of how long it was going to take. Probably not a real good idea. And oh, by the way, What did Abram at that time, what did he even know about God? Now, we're not given a lot of information, but we know that Abram came out of a land, I think it's called Ur of the Chaldees. And we know that that land was well known for its study of astrology. Not astronomy, or maybe they did that too, but astrology. There was a lot of soothsayers in that land. There was a lot of idolatry going on in that land. That's how Abram was raised. Now, there might have been some mixture of some idea about God there somewhere, but as far as we can tell, Abram didn't really even know anything about God. You talk about God's sovereignty. You talk about His providence. God making the choice to come to this man, choosing him to be the father of the nation of Israel. Abraham heard the promises of God and he obeyed. And he went, not knowing whether he went by faith. I want to read a couple of verses and then let's think a little bit. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, if we have time, I want to come back to maybe those couple of verses, but I want to stay with this idea of faith leading to obedience. I made a few points here. I've already shared a couple of them with you. Faith doesn't wait until the way is seen clearly. It doesn't wait for all those questions to be answered. Faith moves. Faith simply moves with a focus on the anticipated outcome. Think about that. Could Abraham really focus on anything else? And what if he didn't? What if Abraham focused on the who, what, when, where, how, and all of the journey along the way? What if he focused on all of the distractions and all the obstacles along the way to that land that God promised him? What if that was his focus? I just wonder if he'd ever made it. I wonder if he'd ever gotten there. And if he had have gotten there, it would have been a very bumpy road. But his focus was on the outcome, the anticipated, the expected outcome that God had promised him. That was Abram's focus. It's all too often we have these short-term, oh no, we have to plan, and we have things we have to take care of on a daily basis and a weekly basis, and we look at the monthly budget and it doesn't look very good, but we look at short-term. I understand we have to do those things, but those things aren't our focus. Those things are just kind of necessary things we have to take care of along the way. Abraham, we're told here, he was a sojourner, one who was on a journey as a stranger. And he was a stranger in a land. He lived as one who didn't belong there, or in one that was he was going to be there temporarily. And that's us, right? That's how it is. That's our life. Temporary. We're sojourners. We're on a journey. We're in a strange place, in a strange land. Strange in the sense that it is not our permanent dwelling place. And in fact, he says he dwelt in tabernacles. Tabernacles. Abram and his family, they dwelt in tents. Tents are not permanent dwellings. Tents are made and intended to go up in a hurry and come down in a hurry so he can move on. Tabernacles. Makes you think of the tabernacle in the wilderness, right? That tabernacle it was a large tent, but it was a tent nonetheless. And it was made in such a way that it was to be taken down when the time came, and it would move on to the next place, and it was to be put back up. It was temporary. Just a thought about that too, though. Well, we'll come back to it. I'm trying to stay with a thought here. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should. Faith doesn't sit still. Faith moves. It doesn't wait for all the questions to be answered. Here's a point that I'd like to spend a few minutes on, though. Faith in God leads us to obedience to all authority that God has ordained. Now think about that. Maybe you need to think about it a little bit more before you say amen, but I think it's the truth. Faith, if we exercise faith the way that we should, the way that Abraham did, faith will lead us to obedience. Obedience to authority and whatever authority that God has ordained. Let's think about that in terms of Christ to begin with. I want to read a few verses from the book of Colossians. You're probably very familiar. If you turn there, fine. If not, fine. Colossians chapter 1. In fact, maybe we ought to spend a few minutes here. Colossians chapter 1. Christ. Faith in God leads us to obedience to Christ. Okay? Obedience to Christ, either as a church, collectively, as individuals. Faith in God should lead you to obedience to Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, in fact, this is a beautiful passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 1. Paul, beginning about verse 9, begins to share with this church at Colossae the things that he has prayed for. In remembering these saints at Colossae, he shares with them his heart's desire, his prayer. The things that he has prayed for on behalf of these brothers and sisters in Christ. He prays for them that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will, the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding. Paul has prayed for these saints that they would walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, that they would be fruitful, that they would increase in the knowledge of God, that they would be strengthened with all might, that they would be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Paul shares with them all of these things that he has been praying for them. And then he says in verse 13, concerning God, let's read verse 12, in fact, giving thanks unto the Father. Paul reminds these saints at Colossae that it is the Father, God the Father, he says, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul reminds, and we need to be reminded of that often, that it is God that has made us meet, that has made us in an appropriate way, in an acceptable way, in an appropriately acceptable manner, that we would be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has done that. That's all of God's work. God has done that. We need to be reminded of that sometimes. Oftentimes, maybe. And he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's God that has done that. My friends, this morning, if you are a part of the kingdom of God, it is solely and only because of the power of God, the sovereign power and grace of Almighty God. That's the only reason that you have an inheritance in the kingdom of God this morning. That you have this inheritance with the saints in light. It's because of God. He goes on to say concerning His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, the Word that was made flesh, that was manifest, that came into the world as the only begotten Son of God, He obtained eternal redemption for us, the forgiveness of sins. We need to be reminded of that often. But what I really wanted here was this. Talking about faith that leads to obedience. And first and foremost, our obedience ought to be to Christ Himself, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord of glory, we are to be obedient to Him. He says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Everything created by Him and all authority, all power comes from Him. Everything is subject to Him, to His control, to His power. And the faith that we have ought to lead us to obedience to Christ. He says that all things were created by Him and for Him, including you. You were created by Him and you were created for Him. You weren't created for yourself. This world is not about you. Life is not about you. Life does not revolve around you. The triune God, I'm convinced, would have still been the triune God whether they ever created us or not. But you were created. And you were created by Him. And you were created for Him. He has given you the faith to exercise, the faith that should lead you to obedience to Him. You know what? That's just almost become an ugly word in the world today, obedience. I mean, what do you think about when you hear that word obedience? Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's not. Sometimes I think about your pet, you know, your dog, your cat, and they're not always very obedient. We think about animals and disobedient. People don't want to think about obedience when it comes to themselves. You and I are called to walk obediently. Faith that God has given us should lead us to walk obediently. The beautiful thing is, not only gives us the ability, but somewhere in there, in all of that, that God has given us in the new birth, it's also the desire. It's also the desire to do so. But He says, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is before all things. He is superior to all things. He is superior in authority, in importance, in everything. He is superior. Christ is superior. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things have been put and placed and kept together and united into one big creation that He is over, that He is in charge of, that He maintains and supports and keeps it going. That's Christ. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is our head. So the faith we have should lead us to obedience to Him, because He is our head. He is our husband. He's not only our creator, but He is our head and our husband. The body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. The preeminence. So, faith leads us, should lead us, to obedience to Christ. You remember what they said about Jesus at the end of His, probably one of His first sermons, I guess, at least sounds like the, seems like the first one we have recorded anyway, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And you remember what they said about what they just heard? They were astonished. The people heard that sermon, those teachings, and to borrow a phrase from the Acts of the Apostles, all that turned their world upside down. And the people said about what they just heard and about who just spoke those words, Jesus, they said, He speaks as one having authority. It's a good reason He spoke that way, because He had the authority to speak as He did. He spoke as one who had authority. Another ugly word in our culture today. And they were astonished at that. Faith should lead us to obedience to Christ. I want to read a couple of verses in John. John chapter 5, I thought were pretty interesting, even though it's a familiar passage probably, at least part of it. John chapter 5, the Gospel according to John. John chapter 5, we're familiar with some of this, beginning in verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. You know, in some ways, it's easy for us to acknowledge that Christ, that God the Father, God the Son, that they have the power. Probably easy enough for us to acknowledge that. But when it gets down to a personal thing, does He have authority over me? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And we are to submit. We are to submit. He says, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Let's move on down just a little bit. Very familiar language here in a couple of these verses. Let's do read verse 25, though. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Talk about power. Talk about authority. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. The hour is coming. And at the time that Jesus said these words, he says, and now is. One who has the power to bring life from the dead, to raise the dead to life, to give eternal life to those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And this is the supporting argument, if you will, for that. He says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority. Hath given him authority to execute judgment. In other words, to carry out the will of God. Not only had the power, but he has the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Let's think a little bit more. Faith should lead us to obedience. Obedience to Christ. I'm tempted to go... Let's think about the church. Let's think about the church. We mentioned that there in Colossians 1, how that Christ is the head of the church, the body. The church has authority as well, right? The church has authority. And the faith that you have, my friends, the faith that you have ought to lead you into obedience and submit yourself to the authority of the church. Why does the church have authority? We're told, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that he says, these things I write unto you. He said that he was hoping to come see Timothy very shortly. And if he did not arrive very shortly, he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church has authority because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church has the responsibility, the authority and the responsibility. We have the ability too. We have the responsibility to maintain truth, to promote truth. We support truth. We support the truth that God has revealed to us in His Word by promoting it and by living by it. Living by it. We have the responsibility. We are the pillar and ground of the truth. And how important is truth? How important is truth? We talked about this not long ago. Is there anything more important than truth? I do recall a conversation that Christ had with that woman at the well. And sometimes we think about truth and as it is connected with the church and worship. And it is true. We are to seek the truth concerning the manner in which we worship. And Christ told that woman at the well that the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truth is vital. Truth is critical. And it is important that our manner of worship be according to truth. But it is equally important that your manner of life be lived according to truth. The church is the promoter of that truth. We promote the truth not just concerning how we worship, not only concerning the doctrines of grace, as we call them sometimes, not only the truth concerning how God saves sinners, but we're to promote the truth just as much of how those saved sinners ought to live. Ought to live a life of faithful obedience and honor to the Lord. The church does have authority. And I remember also in Matthew chapter 18, something you're familiar with probably, Matthew chapter 18. You know, when there are, when there has been an offense, trespass, when there's an offense between two brethren, two sisters, whatever the case might be, when there's an offense, we're to go to that person. And speak to them, and you know, try to work things out. And if they don't hear you, then you're supposed to take two or three witnesses with you, right? And try to work it out that way. But then if they don't hear them, Jesus says, then they're to go to the church. The church. The church does have authority. The church has authority to make judgment in those cases. The kind of faith that you and I have should lead us to submit ourselves to the authority of the church. All right, let's move on a little bit more. The kind of faith that you and I have been given by God should lead us into obedience to His Word, to the gospel itself. You remember what Matthew tells us at the end of his the gospel account that he wrote, the last chapter of Matthew. Jesus says that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me. And he told the apostles there, just before he ascended back to his Father, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Jesus has the authority. We're to submit to His authority. We are to obey Him. Jesus committed something to the apostles, and that was the teaching and preaching of His Word. And He said to them, you teach the things that I've commanded you to observe all things. You teach others to observe all things that I have commanded you. And then you know what happened? Let's turn over here to 2 Timothy because I don't want to misquote it. I'm kind of a... if I'm about to misquote something, I'll try to... I don't have to tell you. You'll know it. But I try to let you know that this is not an exact quote because I just have a real fear of misquoting God's Word. I just don't want to do that if I can at all help it. Paul told Timothy, one of the next generation, one of the ministers in the next generation down from the apostles. Okay, Jesus has given those instructions to the apostles to teach and to preach, to baptize, to teach people to observe all things that Christ had commanded them. And then Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And the ministry has been given that responsibility and the authority to teach and to preach and baptize in every generation since then. And you and I have faith from God that should lead us into obedience to His Word, to the gospel, to the teaching and the preaching of His Word. Paul told Timothy in the first letter that he wrote, he told him, he listed all these things that Timothy, he was teaching Timothy, and he says to Timothy, you teach and command. These things command and teach. You have the responsibility, and I hope you have the desire, to commit yourself, submit yourself into obedience to His Word. This is the kind of faith that we where we started in Hebrews chapter 11, that we read about that Abraham had. Let's get a couple of more, because these things, this can get down real practical level. For example, we have been instructed in God's Word to submit ourselves to the authority of our parents. Now, I know you young people that were here last Sunday said, oh, here we go again. Because that's all you heard last Sunday just about, wasn't it? Well, it's okay. You've probably forgotten a lot of it, tried to forget some of it, and knew you need to be reminded. But, it's not just for you young people. I have parents back there. I'm still to submit myself to their authority. As far as my parents and what they teach, what they ask and require of me, insofar as it is in harmony with God's Word, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Brother David mentioned this. He preached on some of this last Sunday. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother. I enjoyed so much some conversation we had sometime yesterday, last night. I don't remember exactly when. That, parents aren't necessarily looking just for their children to be obedient. Parents are looking for their children to honor them. I didn't say get down and praise and worship them, no. But to honor them. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Yeah, some of y'all are kind of getting uncomfortable back there. I saw you getting uncomfortable last Sunday too. Honor your father and mother. And you do that by how? Obeying them. Obey your parents in the Lord. It's simply right. And that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And Paul wrote the same thing, pretty much the same thing, in the book of Colossians, when he said in Colossians chapter 3, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know what? Parents aren't seeking necessarily the obedience. Parents are seeking their children to be respectful and to honor their parents and to be well-pleasing to the Lord. It's possible that my children, this is not the case, but it would be possible that a child might not necessarily please their parents, at least not as much as what their parents might be looking for, but if they can please the Lord. But you know what? If they're pleasing the Lord, that ought to be pleasing to the parents. The kind of faith, this is connected with the faith. The kind of faith that God has given us, where we submit ourselves to the authority of Christ, to the authority of His church, to the authority of His Word. I should probably share this one from Hebrews chapter 13. Concerning the church and concerning the proclamation of His Word, the apostle tells us over there that we are... I don't want to misquote it. I hear that enough. I don't want to be guilty of it. Paul says in this 13th chapter, he says, obey them that have the rule over you. Concerning the teaching and preaching of God's Word, especially within the church, those who have been given that responsibility to teach and to preach, God says, you obey them. Obey them. Why obey them? Not because they're preaching to you their opinions or their wants and wishes and desires, and this is what I think you ought to do. Because they're preaching God's Word. So you are to obey. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. I love the structure and order of God. Everything about God. Obedience to Christ. Obedience to His Word. Obedience to the church. Obedience to parents. Especially for all of us, obedience to civil authority. We are to obey the authority that God has ordained. We're told that in more than one place, and one in particular that you're familiar with probably, Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God has established this structure of civil law. Where would we be without that kind of order and that kind of structure? You can look around in places in the world, and you can see where we would be. It'd be total chaos and lawlessness, and it's an uncivilized place to be without civil government. It didn't say anything about what form of government, but a civil government, an organized structure in place. God has ordained that kind of power to men, to be exercised by men. So, Abraham had this kind of faith that led him to obedience. Didn't have all the questions answered. You won't have all your questions answered. Children, you don't always have all of your questions answered. And sometimes, oftentimes, in fact, obedience is the response. Parents, don't assume or don't take the position. Parents, don't take the position that once your children obey, then that situation is behind you and you don't have to go back and talk about it anymore. Your children still have questions. Your children are to obey. But parents, come back then once that obedience is in place and in motion
and try to answer the questions. Abraham finally had some questions answered. I'm convinced that he died with still a few questions, but are any of us going to have all of our questions answered before we die? I'm not really worried about that. They'll all be answered after I die. Amen? And so Abraham sojourned. He dwelt in tents. He left his homeland. By faith, he obeyed. It's interesting to me that he lived in tabernacles, and that tabernacle was also set up in the wilderness. A tabernacle was set up, the tabernacle. The tabernacle of the congregation was set up in the wilderness for the Israelites. And you know what that tabernacle was all about? That tabernacle was where God met with his people, where God manifested his glory. That's where God manifested himself. That's where the sacrifices, listen to me carefully, I know it's 12 o'clock, where the sacrifices and offerings were made by the people unto God. That's where God made himself known, made his glory known. What do you think Abraham was focused on? He was focused on the promises of God, the expectation of those promises being fulfilled. The Israelites, later on in the wilderness, you know what that tabernacle did for them? That tabernacle was their guide. That tabernacle was their leader, if you will. That was where God manifested himself, and God did so this way, very quickly. He did so by a pillar of cloud by day that rested above that tabernacle, and a pillar of fire by night. And as long as the children of Israel were focused on that cloud and on that fire, focused on the manifestation of the glory of God, they would be going in the right direction. As long as their focus was on the glory of God. Now get that down to a very personal level. What are we? Paul described us in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians as this. He described us as having a tabernacle, this earthly house of this tabernacle. He said in another place that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. As people who are sojourning through this land on a journey with a focus on the glory of God, do you think that will affect the decisions that you make on a daily basis? If your focus is on the glory of God, as being a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, that's the kind of faith that Abraham had. That's the kind of faith that you and I have that we should exercise in the same manner that Abraham did. Faith that leads to obedience. Obedience to all authority, the authority that God has ordained.